That's Mark chapter 2, 23 to 28. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." As I've already said, this week our children and young people have finished school for the summer holidays, and we enter a time where generally we see slightly lower numbers in church on a Sunday morning, because it's the time of year where many people, particularly those who do have children, go away on holiday. And as I've just shared, we do something slightly different in the summer as a church, and we choose to use this time in a way that takes us away from some of the many rotas that we have to do, and a chance for us to rest and meet in a slightly different way, to worship together and to spend some time around some slightly more social activities. And that's what we're doing again this year. And in many ways, August is a time of rest, a time for holiday, a time for friendship and fun and family, and also an opportunity to connect with God outside of the normal routine but also service and rotas and the things that we do regularly as a church. I recognise there are some people who don't take their holidays in August, as they aren't tied down by school holidays, and that might be some of you. But I'd like to encourage all of us this summer to think a bit about the importance of rest. This year, on the few occasions where we've had a fifth Sunday in a month like today, we've had a break from our normal series in John's Gospel to focus on being encouraged and built up as a church community. So you might remember in January, we put up those two blue screens that we've got over there, and we encourage people to bring all the different things that they're involved with in as individuals and in the life of the church, all the ways that we serve God and serve other people. And it was really encouraging to see all the different things go up on that board. You might remember it. And then I got this board out again a couple of months ago. And again, we thought a bit about what it means to be church. What does it mean to be the body of Christ together? And we had a time of sharing where people told us updates of the things that they're involved with and a bit about what God is doing. And you might remember Ness came up and she wrote some words that we picked out from a passage to encourage us. Today I decided not to bring that board back out, that board of service and mission and action, because all those words are about doing and are related to work, to service, to creativity in some ways. And all those things aren't bad in themselves. But I want to take this opportunity today to encourage us in a slightly different way as a church as we approach the summer, and to give us permission as a church to rest. Because rest is actually an important biblical principle that is of such great importance to our life and our well-being, both physically, mentally, and spiritually. Listen to these words from the start of Genesis chapter 2. "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he'd been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that had been done." Having created the world, having spent 6 days hard at work, God set aside a whole day for rest. This became known in the Old Testament as the Sabbath. In Jewish law and culture, the seventh day, as instructed by God, was set aside for rest. This year, as we've been studying John's Gospel, and in recent weeks, many of the passages have been about the disputes that Jesus had with the religious leaders. And many of these arguments that they had were based around Jesus doing things on the Sabbath day. The Israelites had taken this idea of Sabbath rest that was modeled by God in creation, and they'd written it into the Jewish law. But in doing that, the Sabbath had become something it was never meant to be. Instead of it being a day of rest, it became a means of actually oppressing the people. The Sabbath became in many ways hard work to keep. It was a day when absolutely nothing could happen. And the people became slaves to the Sabbath rather than the Sabbath being a time of rest. And so Jesus was criticized for healing people on the Sabbath day. And in today's passage, for his disciples picking grain and eating on the Sabbath. On both occasions, Jesus argued against the legalistic misunderstanding of what the Sabbath was all about. In the passage from Mark 2 that we read earlier, Jesus ends his conversation by saying, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." In other words, the reason for the Sabbath is to give people rest, to give people a chance to recuperate, to be made whole, to find healing, to be restored. Sabbath was never intended to enslave people, but to bring about new life. I think understanding a bit more about the kind of rest that Jesus encourages us to find in him is really helpful. And rather than listening to me explain a little bit more about the Sabbath, I found a short 5-minute video clip that I'm going to ask Jacob to play.
The number 7 is a big deal in the Bible.
Yeah, in biblical Hebrew, the word 7 is connected to the idea of fullness or completeness.
And that's something we all long for, but don't often experience. Instead, we find ourselves working endlessly, fighting back chaos with no real rest.
Yes. Now keep all that in mind as we turn to Genesis 1 in the Bible. It begins with darkness and disorder, but then God speaks to bring about light and order so that life can flourish.
And this happens over the course of 6 days.
Each day is marked with the phrase, "There was evening and there was morning." But on the 7th day, something special happens.
God stops and rests.
Right. Creation is brought to its completion on the 7th day. And that phrase, "there was evening and there was morning," it doesn't appear on day 7.
It's like a day with no end.
On the 7th day, God's presence fills his creation. The land provides for all of God's creatures, including humans, who are appointed to rule the world with God forever.
Kings and queens of the 7th day rest. I can get into that.
But the humans are deceived by a dark power, and they forfeit that rest. They're exiled into the wilderness, where they have to work as slaves to the land.
Until they die and return to the dust from which they came.
But God wants to restore humanity back to that 7th day rest. So he chooses to give the family of Israel that experience of ultimate rest so they can share it with others.
But how? They're in Egypt, slaves to an oppressive empire who's grinding them into the dust.
So God confronts Egypt and he liberates the Israelites, taking them through the darkness and chaos on the way to the promised land.
Now, while they're on their way, they find themselves in the wilderness. It's easy to get lost. Life is a struggle. They're not in the land of rest yet.
But while they're on the way, God invites them in the wilderness to start living as if they're in the promised land.
But how do you practice the future rest in the wilderness?
Well, God tells them that every 7th day, they are to stop their work, or in Hebrew, to Shabbat, so that they can rest and enjoy God's good world.
So take a whole day to live as if the ultimate rest has already come.
Yeah, this is the Sabbath, celebrated every week on the 7th day. But there's more. The Sabbath is just one of 7 festivals that Israel practiced every year, each one anticipating that 7th day rest.
That is a lot of 7s.
And there's even more. Every 7 years, the Israelites were to liberate slaves, forgive debts, and let the land rest for a whole year. And then, every 7 times 7 years was the ultimate 7th day rest, called the Year of Jubilee. If anyone had lost their land or gone into debt, all was forgiven, everything restored.
Wow, so the Sabbath, these feasts, the Year of Jubilee, it's all pointing towards the hope of future rest.
Right. Now, when the Israelites went into the land, they forgot their God, and so they forfeited their chance to rest in the promised land.
They're exiled and enslaved again by an oppressive nation, led back into a world of chaos and disorder.
But Israel's prophets said that their exile would end one day, and that the ultimate jubilee of freedom and rest would come, but generations go by, and they're still waiting.
It's at this dark point in the story that Jesus appears, and he launches his public mission on a Sabbath day.
Yeah, he read aloud from the scroll of Isaiah, saying that it was time for all captives and slaves to be released because this was the year of the Lord's favor.
What did he mean, this is the year of the Lord's favor?
He was talking about the ultimate jubilee.
Also, Jesus is claiming that seventh-day rest would come through him.
Right, he said that he was the Lord of the Sabbath, and he confronted disorder and darkness in all of its forms, liberating people from sickness, sin, even from death itself.
Yet, Jesus was killed, so even his work was undone.
Well, it seemed that way. But notice, Jesus timed his death to take place at the end of the week. His body rested in a tomb during the Sabbath, and on the eighth day, he rose from the dead.
Oh wait, the eighth day? You mean the first day of a new week.
Exactly. Jesus' resurrection was like the first day of a new creation, where God's light and life broke into the darkness.
So because of the resurrection, we have hope in God's promise of future rest. But we're not there yet. It's like we're still in the wilderness, where we experience struggle and pain.
But as we journey towards that ultimate seventh day, Jesus invites us to experience a taste of real rest now by following him. Or in his words, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest.
I'm sure we can all relate to some extent to the idea that our experience of life is generally one of chaos and disorder and hard work. That appears to be the norm. And we see around us in society and on the news a lot of brokenness and injustice and pain. In that video, we heard about the origins of Sabbath rest and the importance of the number seven. And it talked about how the Israelites tried to use this concept in a positive way of restoring creation and society to the way that God had wanted it to be. And initially, this idea was all about restoration and wholeness and new life. And I really like the idea in early Jewish culture that every 7 years, slaves were set free, debts were cancelled, and the land was able to rest. This was about restoring people's lives and restoring creation to the way that it was intended to be. I also like the idea of seven festivals that they had each year, opportunities to celebrate and spend time with family, being reminded of God's faithfulness. And I like the idea of having a day set aside each week for rest. And in this video, three words stood out to me: restoration, wholeness, and new life. But the problem that we have, and we saw in that video, is that religious people got hold of Sabbath rest and made it, instead of being about restoration, wholeness, and new life, about chaos and disorder and hard work. The Sabbath became something it wasn't meant to be, and people became slaves to it rather than enjoying the rest it was intended to bring. As I said earlier, Jesus wasn't allowed to heal or feed his disciples on the Sabbath. Surely healing and eating are both things that brought restoration and wholeness and new life. That was the argument that Jesus brought to the Pharisees. In that video and in today's passage, we get a clearer insight into Jesus' understanding of Sabbath rest. In today's passage, Jesus said, "He is the Lord of the Sabbath." And that video ended with the verse from Matthew 11 where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus takes the idea of Sabbath rest and he reinterprets and clarifies what it's actually meant to be. It was never meant to be a legal obligation. There was never meant to be a list of rules to follow, do and don't activities. It wasn't necessarily even meant to be about having one day where there was no activity, where no activity was allowed to happen. Rather, the Sabbath was very simply about setting aside time to rest with God, enjoying the world that God has created, and being restored, finding wholeness and new life. It had never occurred to me until I watched that video that Jesus lay in the tomb on the seventh day of the week. On the Sabbath, his body rested, and that it was on the first day of a new week that Jesus rose into new life. The Sabbath is preparation for the new life that is to come. So from this brief look at Sabbath rest, there are a few principles that stand out to me. That it's about restoration from all the brokenness that we've experienced. It's about finding wholeness and well-being, spiritual, emotional, and physical well-being. It's about receiving the new life that Jesus offers, and it's about preparation for what's coming next. But most importantly, it's rest. Sabbath rest is about our relationship with Jesus. It's about resting in the presence of God, because it's in Jesus that we find all those things of restoration and wholeness and healing. It's in him that we find the new life that we need. And this is why he says, "Come to me, cast your burden on me, I will give you rest." I don't know about you, but sometimes I find it quite hard to rest. I don't always know how to do it. Sometimes I have so many things either going on in my mind or so many things that I want to do that I don't know where to start. Sometimes I feel like I waste rest time by doing nothing. And sometimes I wonder whether my rest should involve something a bit more spiritual. But all of those things that I wonder could actually lead me to becoming a bit more like those religious leaders who get a bit legalistic about rest and say, this is what it should be like. But perhaps the questions to ask are ones like these. Does this activity, does this means of rest bring me life? Does what I'm doing make me feel whole and well? And where is God in this activity? Can I be aware of his presence alongside me as I swim, or as I walk, or as I eat, or as I read, or as I pray, or as I spend time with my family? These are the kind of ponderings and questions I've been asking myself as I approach my sabbatical, which is just a few weeks away now. For those who don't know, as a Baptist minister, every 7 years from this idea of Sabbath rest, ministers get 3 months away from their normal roles and duties. And this is a chance, as we've just explored, to spend time resting, to do things that bring life and that are good for physical, spiritual, and emotional well-being. And it's also a chance for my faith to be built up and to lead me into whatever God has in store next. And I thought it might be good to share what some of my plans are for my sabbatical with you this morning as it's coming up. I thought you might want to know some of that. So I haven't actually made loads of plans for my sabbatical, and I didn't want to completely fill it full to start with of activity. And I've tried to avoid doing anything just because it feels like the kind of thing that I should be doing. Rather, I've planned things that fit that kind of description of the Sabbath that I've talked about, things that bring life, things that restore, that make me feel well and whole, and that will build my faith and my connection with God. So one of the things that I'm going to be doing is spending a week in France at the Bless Community, which is a retreat house that's run by Gerard and Chrissy Kelly. Many of you will know them because they led our church weekend away a couple of years ago. And they run a course called Seven Stories, which involves some teaching and worship and rest and food, and also some time doing some outreach with refugees. As well as that, I'm also planning to do some walking with a friend of mine. We're still planning the finer details of exactly where and when, but that's something we're going to be doing. I've also planned to spend a few days shadowing a university chaplain at Cambridge. Don't worry, I'm not considering a career change. I just wanted to get a different insight into ministry, and so that's something that I was interested in doing. Then I'm also going to be doing some very important things, like spending time with my family and doing a bit more exercise than maybe I'd normally do. Catching up with friends. These were three friends I was in Baptist College with, and I'm going to be spending a weekend with them. One of them's an RAF chaplain, and so we're going to meet on her RAF base, and as well as spending time with them, get an insight into to what she does there. I like sitting in a cafe, perhaps with a book, perhaps chatting with people. I might do a bit of that. Pottering around the house and cooking. I love cooking, many of you will know that, but it's very hard when you've got young kids to actually find time to do cooking that's enjoyable rather than just whipping something up for dinner. And so I look forward to spending a little bit more time actually cooking in a way that's enjoyable. And I'm looking forward to having a bit more space to pray, and particularly to practice talking less and actually listening more to what actually God is saying to me. So that's something I'm looking forward to doing as well. So actually, I'm really looking forward to some Sabbath rest during this sabbatical, and I'd really value your prayers as this time approaches, not just for me, but for my family as well, because actually this time is taking them out of their normal routine, and so I'd really appreciate your prayers for them. It's a great opportunity and a good time, but it's also a bit of a different time as well for us as a family. But I haven't talked about rest this morning just because I wanted to share my sabbatical with you, and because that's approaching in the next few weeks. Of course, it is in my mind, but I've talked about rest because I think it's something that's important for all of us. And I'm aware of just how busy and chaotic people's lives can be. And I know how hard life has been for some of you over the last couple of years. As I said earlier, as well as being a church that's keen to serve and has lots of great stuff going on, I also want us to be a church that encourages and gives people the permission to rest. And so in this last sermon before the summer, and probably before I go on sabbatical, we're going to be doing some other things in the next few weeks. I firstly wanted to say a big thank you to all of you. A big thank you to everyone for the hard work that you put into the life of RBC and for all that you do. And I want to encourage you, whatever that you've got planned over the next month of August, to find some time to rest. And that looks different for everyone. It doesn't have to be a special day set aside. There are no rules or laws to follow. But be guided by these questions. What brings me life? What makes me feel whole and well? And where is God in this activity? What is God doing? What's God saying to me? And you might even want to take some time meditating on this verse from Matthew 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.